Living in America used to be a dream. For so many people far away and unseen, with their big cars and movie stars, living in America, all hail to the red, white, and blue. Living in America was a dream. In this land they tell you to reach for anything you want, and everything is possible, just believe that you can. 'Cause we're God's chosen children, living in America with that long house and my picket fences, living in America.
This is a special event from Lost Arts Radio and held together by Doug Diamond, and I'm the host, Richard Sachs. We have Sheriff Richard Mack with us, and this event is for two purposes. One is we're going to talk directly, or Sheriff Mack is going to talk directly to you, the sheriff, who this is being given to by us or by one of our listeners or anybody that's a friend of yours that wants you to have the information that you won't see in the newspaper or from the federal agencies. This is deep insight that Sheriff Mack has gotten over decades of work on these issues of what a sheriff's potential role really should be, what the powers are, what the responsibilities are, all of the things that back up the sheriff in doing the highest level of his or her job. So we're going to go over that. This is also an open conversation, so we will broadcast this and hope that the people that view it can share it with their sheriffs. And we need to get this out to all sheriffs as quickly as possible. We've got a serious situation in the country, and the sheriffs should be playing a key role. Many of them may not know what the potential benefits and opportunities in that role might be. So we're going to find out right now. And Richard Mack, Sheriff Mack, welcome to the show. And I want to set the stage here that you're speaking to a sheriff that maybe has never even heard of you, has never heard of your organization, doesn't know what it is you're talking about. They've already got their job description and they're doing the best job with it that they can. So what are the deeper levels to that, and why do they need to know about them? Where can they go? And let's see where this goes and give them a taste of it.
Well, obviously, Sheriff, if you've never heard about me, then you haven't been around much, or you need to get out more. And I'm not saying that in a braggadocio way. It's just that the constitutional sheriff movement has been going on for about 30 years. And my book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, has been really circulated widely around the country now for the last 10, 12 years. And the primary reason that I'm here with you today, Sheriff, is because back in 1994, I became the first sheriff in American history to file a lawsuit against the federal government. And that was specifically the Clinton administration. Now, a lot of people have sued Bill Clinton, and I just kind of am in line with a bunch of those. But I'm the only one to ever sue him on a non-sexual matter. So mine is really quite unique. And it was I sued to stop the overreach of the federal government pursuant to the Brady Bill. Six other sheriffs joined me in that lawsuit. And thank God that they did. I am so grateful that they did. But I was the one that started the whole thing. And this is the only time in United States history where this has ever happened. No sheriff has ever sued the federal government before, taken it all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and win a major landmark decision on the issue of local autonomy, state sovereignty, and the power of the sheriff and the office of sheriff being protected from being commandeered by the federal government. In fact, this decision is known as the anti-commandeering doctrine or the anti-commandeering case or ruling. And Justice Antonin Scalia wrote the decision. Sheriff, wouldn't you really think that every sheriff in the country would want to know about that? the only time in U.S. history where this sort of thing has ever happened. Do you know how impossible it is to go to the Supreme Court? When people say, oh, I'm going to sue you for everything you've got, and if I have to, I'll take it all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, that's a bunch of just jive talk. That's all it is, because if you look at the history of the Supreme Court, they only take 1% of the cases that cross their desk. 1%. So I guess you could say I'm a 1%er. But it's even less to win at the U.S. Supreme Court. So the chances of even getting there are so minuscule and so remote that to actually say you've won a case at the United States Supreme Court is really quite remarkable. I call it absolutely miraculous, because I never intended to get to the Supreme Court. I was hoping, you know, but it didn't even cross my mind that we would make it to the Supreme Court. But we did. Now, what's the issue here? Well, the Brady Bill was the first time also in American history where a federal law, quote, law, a federal piece of pretend legislation actually threatened to arrest sheriffs if we didn't go along with it. I'm not kidding. In the actual Brady Bill, it threatens to arrest us if we failed to comply. Now, what this was, just real quickly, is that we objected to being coerced into enforcing federal law. And this is a real key issue here of jurisdiction, Sheriff. Not just constitutional propriety, but absolute jurisdiction. Can the federal government fire me? Does the federal government pay my salary? Can they in any way hire me or make sure that I get elected or appointed as sheriff? None of that is true. They can't do any of that. And the president of the United States cannot tell you as sheriff what to do. He is not your boss. I could see us working on some things together, but he's still not my boss, and he's not your boss. Only the people are our boss. Isn't that amazing? You know you have no other supervisor. You know the county commissioners are not your boss. You know the county attorney isn't your boss, or the governor is your boss. We've seen this in recent months where many sheriffs have stood against their own governors. What was the governor able to do about that? He was highly critical. He or she was very critical of sheriffs in his state for not going along with his or her COVID-19 mandates. Those are not laws either. Would you at least, Sheriff, admit that every sheriff in this country should be curious as to why seven sheriffs sued the federal government in 1994 and at the Supreme Court in a 5-4 split decision, June 27, 1997, ruled in favor of those sheriffs? Wouldn't you want to know what it was about? Wouldn't you want to find out everything about that case? Well, I can do that for you and with you, and I would love to come to your county and do a seminar about all of this with you in your office or with all the sheriffs in your state or in your surrounding area. I remember I went to the panhandle of Texas in Lubbock County, or Lubbock, part of Lubbock, Texas, and it was in Randall County, and the sheriff invited about 25 sheriffs in the area to in the panhandle to come to the training, and they all did. Why aren't we doing that in every county or in every area of the country, especially in your area? Why aren't we doing that more? What is our job? I hear this all the time. I hear it from deputies. I hear it from sheriffs. Well, that's not my job. What isn't your job? Okay, so let's look. What is our job? As a sheriff, what is our job? Okay, so is it to kick in doors? Is it to write traffic citations? Is it to arrest drunk drivers? Is it to keep the peace? Oh, I like that one. I actually like some of all of those, but I know this is it. We spend about 75% of law enforcement in this futile and useless drug war. Now, believe me, I hate drug abuse worse than you do. But I have to ask, what has that benefited the American people? What have we done to really make drug abuse go away? We spend about $95 billion a year to stop a problem that we actually literally helped create. Prohibition doesn't work. We've learned that in history. Prohibition doesn't work. I would love to get rid of all drug abuse, especially the ridiculous amount of drugs that are peddled by doctors to unsuspecting patients. And how we are such an addicted country. You know, America is about 4.5% of the world's population, but we use 60% of the illicit drugs. So I'm asking again, what's our job? Are we going to continue to pretend that we've done something beneficial for our constituents regarding drug abuse? We've never prevented a single person from using drugs who wants to use drugs in this country. Oh, well, we made this big drug arrest and we brought in $80 million worth of drugs this past year. And we made 127 arrests for drug distribution. Yeah, you probably did all that. And the rate of abuse in your county continued as it did last year. And it will continue the same next year. Oh, it might drop 1%, might go up 2%. It's always the same, basically. We have done nothing to help that problem. So I think what I'm saying here is we need to do a careful analysis of what our jobs really are. Where do we find that out? We find that out at the very beginning of our job. Look, before you could take your position as sheriff of your county or parish, you had to swear an oath of allegiance to the United States Constitution. Yes, the supreme law of the land requires each of us in law enforcement, whether it be deputies just graduating from the academy or sworn detectives and sworn personnel in law enforcement, no matter what level, corrections or street patrol, we all must swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution. We therefore have become guards of the Constitution, defenders of liberty. And that's really where it's at with what our job is. Our job and all three branches of government is to do one thing. Yes, we are three separate branches, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branch. Those are all three. That's the order they're mentioned in the Constitution. Those are three articles, the first three articles of the Constitution. You know that the judges and the president and all the legislators and all of us in law enforcement, we are part of the executive branch along with the president. We are the executors of the law. Do you know that we actually all pretty much take the same oath that we will uphold and defend the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the state wherein we reside and work? And the people pay our salary. And we promise them within that framework of our job and our relationship with them that we will uphold and defend their God-given constitutional rights. I challenge you to prove me wrong on that. But there's no need to. It's obvious. We are required by Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution to swear that oath. You know what? How many of us really keep that oath? Have you asked yourself that? How many in law enforcement of the million some odd cops and sheriffs and peace officers and chiefs of police in this country, how many of us keep that oath? Is there ever a time that we can keep take an oath and not be held accountable for its fulfillment? How is it that we take an oath and we're required by law to take that oath? But somehow we don't have to keep it. We don't have to fulfill it. Is there ever anything, any place else where that's okay? So I'm still asking, then what's our job? And what is it, Sheriff? What is it called when somebody swears an oath by raising their right hand to the air and they don't have to keep it or they don't keep it? What law is broken there? You know darn well what I'm talking about. It's perjury. To swear an oath and then summarily ignore it, that's perjury. A lot of us haven't really taken that very seriously, have we? So then how do we keep that oath? Well, first of all, it's impossible to keep an oath of allegiance to a document that you've never read or studied. And that's also where my organization, Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, that's where we come in. We provide the training. Look, I was there once. I was a cop. I started off as a cop for a city police department. Okay? I was like everybody else. I admit it. For the first 3 years of my job, all I did was write tickets and try to get arrest the DUIs. And, boy, if I could get a felony arrest every now and again. Boy, that was big-time payday. It was exciting. High-speed pursuits, exciting. Even fun sometimes. Look, I was never mean. I didn't beat anybody up. I wasn't into that. How many cops do that too often? Because we don't understand that our job is liberty. We're here to protect liberty. We promised to protect liberty in every branch of government. Liberty is first. In America, liberty is first. What are we really after in America? Statistics? More arrests? More numbers? More drug arrests? More narcotics task forces? Come on. What good has all that done us? Look, I believe we need to do something about those things. And I will never give anybody an excuse about driving drunk. If my mom was driving drunk, I would arrest her. No brakes on drunk driving. Okay, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do we understand the principles for which we are here? Do we understand that our ultimate job is to promote liberty? Do we understand that all three branches exist so that we will work together to promote liberty, American ideals, and the vision of the Founding Fathers? Do we understand the Declaration of Independence? Do we understand the principles of the Bill of Rights? Do we even know where the Bill of Rights came from? You know, historically speaking, that's an amazing document. Well, all of those are. And if we ignore them and expect to keep that oath, that would be impossible. And that is on us. So, I would suggest this to every sheriff in the country. To you, Sheriff, I would suggest this. Let's just look at that together. And what I promise you is that if you'll have the training course that I provide for all peace officers and sheriffs in this country, I challenge you to take that course. And I promise you that you will never look at your job again. Read my book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. Go to my website, CSPOA, stands for Constitutional Sheriffs Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. You can get a copy of my Supreme Court decision. It's there on when it says shop. You can get my books. I'll be happy to send them to you. Just email me at sheriffmack@hotmail.com, sheriffmack@hotmail.com, and I'll give them to you. And I know there's lots of people that would gladly donate to have that happen. They're both real short. You can read them both within about a half an hour. But is there any way that we can say we don't have to keep our oath? I don't think that's possible. I don't think it's right. In fact, I believe that's really morally wrong. And believe me, I was there. Like I told you, I started out in law enforcement just like everybody else. But I had an epiphany occur to me, and I decided that I was going to become a constitutional cop, that I was going to keep my oath, and I was going to understand why we have government, why we have cops, why we write all these tickets, And I came to the realization that the Eighth Amendment makes most traffic tickets unconstitutional. Not all of them, but it makes most of them that way. And that really going after people for victimless crimes still is a problem. And I'm all for making arrests, and I'm all for police presence. But sheriffs, so many times I hear sheriffs say, oh, well, you know, Sheriff Mack thinks we get to pick and choose which laws to obey. Actually, I don't. Your oath of office has already picked and chose which laws you will obey and which ones you will enforce. You see, pursuant to your oath, you have to follow the Constitution. And there would never be a time you could enforce an unconstitutional law. No, I'm absolutely serious. You mean you think you should be enforcing unconstitutional laws? I've actually heard cops say that. We'll enforce whatever we have to, and until the Supreme Court tells us differently. Why don't you keep your oath and not wait for the Supreme Court to rule on that? What if the Supreme Court never rules on that? Remember, they only take 1% of all the cases that are out there. What if they never rule on that, and you're going to continue to violate your oath and abuse citizens in your community and county, and you're going to enforce against them a law that infringes on their individual liberty? You're going to keep enforcing that? Have we ever done that in this country? We have quite a bit. And it's really a shame. And I could talk to you about current laws. How about this one? How about the practice of roadblocks and administrative checkpoints and DUI checkpoints? Now, like I said, I'm not against going after DUIs. I think that's one of the worst crimes ever. That's a menace to society. It's a life and death situation. And if people choose to do that, then it's okay for us to choose to get them off the street. However, have you ever really seriously looked and analyzed a DUI checkpoint? The Fourth Amendment requires us as police to have probable cause, and that the citizens are allowed and guaranteed due process. And that due process is guaranteed in the Fifth Amendment and then spelled out in the Sixth Amendment. But this issue of probable cause, how could we just set up a roadblock and stop every citizen coming along? And if they try to turn around, we go after them and stop them too. How could we do that? And then we ask them for their papers. We ask to see their driver's license, registration, and insurance. And that doesn't sound like Nazi Germany to you? It does to me. And if we do that, as long as we bring in a lot of numbers, it makes it constitutional. Is that it? No, I'm sorry. In my Supreme Court case, when it was first heard at the district level, Judge John M. Roll rebuked the attorney for the federal government in that hearing. And he said, "Counselor, do not pretend in this courtroom that your statistical analysis somehow equates to constitutionality," end quote. My dear friends, Sheriff, you have an amazing job. You have an amazing responsibility. It's not an easy job. And you walking this fine line of going after criminals and keeping your oath and following the Constitution to do that is a difficult job, but it can be done. And we're here to help you do that. Now, that roadblock can be very easily made to be constitutional. And I'm proud of some sheriffs in this country that have had our training, that have changed their policies and procedures manual to reflect that. And you know what? Yeah, the only thing you have to do is make those roadblocks. You can keep doing them, but they have to be voluntary. People can participate in those, must wittingly volunteer to go through those. In other words, they waive their Fourth Amendment right to privacy and to your requirement of exercising probable cause. They willingly participate. I would probably do it. I've never drank in my life, but I would probably do it. Okay? Because you asked me. If you force me, I'm probably not going to go for it. Now, I'm willing to do that. And I'm also willing to do that in case of a missing child. And you got to check everybody's car as they leave the park or leave the store or whatever, wherever this happened. I understand that. And I get that. And you say, you know, we're stopping everybody to look for a child. I don't need to see your license, driver's license, anything. I just want to be able to check your trunk and to make sure you're not, that this child is not in your car. You know what I do, Sheriff? Check away. I want to help you. Let me know what I can do to help you. But when you were trying to arrest me and you're forcing me to do it, I'm not going to do it. Sheriff, just change your policy a little bit and say all of these, and you put up a sign at the roadblock. Your participation in this roadblock is voluntary. If you have to put it in the newspaper, like a lot of agencies do, put it in there. It's voluntary. Most people are still going to go through it. Even drunks still go through it that way. They don't want to be so conspicuous and overt in trying to avoid it. And I'm telling you right now, Sheriff, if somebody turns away to avoid the checkpoint, that's not probable cause for a stop. Now, if you want to send a deputy in a car to try to get a driving pattern, sure, go for it. But just missing going around, and they don't want, they could have forgotten something at the store they were at, or at a party they were at, or their wife told them to get some eggs for breakfast in the morning, and they forgot them. They went back. You don't know. But unless you get a driving pattern, that's not a legal stop either. So let's not cut corners. Let's be the example of standing for liberty. You want some other examples of laws that have been totally unconstitutional? How about Plessy versus Ferguson, which created and supported the continuance of segregation for 55 years? Would any of us have, would any of us, Sheriff, would any of us in this country, would we want to promote segregation for 55 years because we trusted the Supreme Court in Plessy versus Ferguson? In Plessy versus Ferguson, you know what it said? Separate but equal. The separate but equal doctrine. Are you kidding? We can still be separate and segregated and be equal? That's what the U.S. Supreme Court said. And they were dead wrong. And law enforcement enforced that for 55 years. Ridiculous. How about the Fugitive Slave Act back in the 1860s or so? Whatever year it was. It was in the 60s, 1860s, I know that. The Fugitive Slave Act said that slaves couldn't escape and then go to the northern states and hide out there, and that if southern police wanted to go get them, they could. Well, it wasn't that way at first. You can enforce that one too? There's been some really stupid laws in this country. Want another stupid law? Okay. How about that it was against the law to cohabitate in Arizona for a long time? Yeah, you couldn't shack up. And it was against the law. It was actually considered a sex crime. I never thought they'd get rid of it. But if I'm going to enforce all laws and expect my deputies to obey all laws, I would have fired half the deputies in our county. How many across the country would be fired? You know, isn't it really great that we have this thing called police discretion so that we don't enforce stupid laws? And how about one of the biggest stupid laws ever enforced was that on Rosa Parks, December 1st, 1955. Two peace officers arrested her for not giving her seat to a white man. Do we still do that today? Well, maybe not on that issue, but we do them just for about the same stupid reasons. Violate people's rights to peaceably assemble. Violate people's rights right now just to go to church. How many people have been arrested for going to church? How many ministers have been arrested for having church, all in the name of the coronavirus? And we're going to enforce these mandates for people to stay home and close down. Those are wrong, Sheriff. We cannot sacrifice America and what made us great as a country and as a people. We cannot throw away liberty. We cannot trash liberty, all in the name of taking care of the people. Enforcing health standards? If we're going to enforce health standards, then why don't we get rid of cigarettes? If we're going to enforce health standards, then why do we let anybody drink? Why don't we do prohibition again and get rid of all the alcoholic beverages in our country? Well, we already learned from history that didn't work. It doesn't work. We learned prohibition doesn't work. But now we think prohibition works with our current drug laws. Ridiculous. Sheriff, I know I've thrown a lot at you here. But let me summarize this with my Supreme Court decision. Justice Scalia, as I said, wrote the decision. And in there, he quoted a couple of things that totally apply to what's going on in our country today. You know, Sheriff, while I'm on this coronavirus thing, I know this is a hypothetical, but it's being talked about a lot. And it's already been suggested in just about half the country. Half of the states have already talked about doing this. If they make a law, or as the Declaration of Independence calls those sort of things, pretend legislation. If they make pretend legislation that you are required to help the health department force people to get vaccinations, are you going to? Or will you stand next to your citizens with your deputies and with your posses and maybe require everybody in your county to be armed? Or you'll go after the health department and say, you're not doing that to anybody. That's a personal choice. Well, a mask is a personal choice. So have they been kind of socially engineering us to get used to these types of mandates and get used to just doing what we're told because we're a bunch of subjects and we're to submit to government? Let's not forget the first three words of the Constitution are, we the people. And we bestow all power in this country. Government doesn't give us anything. They need our permission to exist. They don't give us rights. The Constitution didn't give us rights. The Constitution merely protects our innate rights, our natural rights, the rights we're born with. That's what the Constitution is designed to do. But we are the ones that actually will enforce it. And so, again, I go back to my decision. I really hope that you'll study this decision along with the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and start learning about the intent of the Founding Fathers. Justice Scalia, in reviewing the overreach of the Clinton administration regarding the Brady Bill and why I filed suit, and don't forget, the Senate of a sheriffs that did that, we won this. It was an amazing case. And he said this, but the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions. It divides power. Now, wait. I'm not going to go on right there. Let's go back to that. It protects us from our own best intentions. The Constitution. Well, the Constitution is a piece of paper with words on it. It won't protect us from anything unless we have people with the courage to enforce it, with the courage to keep their oath, to be a true guard of the Constitution and a protector of the Republic. That's what we were hired to do. That's our job. And he goes on in that same paragraph. It divides power, the Constitution. It divides power among sovereigns and among branches of government precisely, I love that word, precisely so that we may resist the temptation to concentrate power in one location as, get this, an expedient solution to the crisis of the day. end quote. The crisis of the day, Sheriff. How many crises of the day are there going to be that they can suspend our Constitution and our liberty, all in the name of taking care of us? No, this was never meant to be. I don't wear a mask very often at all. Sometimes I do, but it's very token. And usually I'm wearing one that's completely breathable. And I have a heart condition, and I'm telling you what, nobody cares that I have a heart condition and that I can get fresh air. Most of these businesses, like the airlines and others, and I fly the airlines, but it's a good thing the airlines have an exception for wearing the mask, and that is while you're eating. So I do a lot of snacking on the airlines because I'm supposed to be breathing in fresh air, not carbon dioxide. And I'll leave that to you to find out the efficacy of wearing a mask. But that's a different story. That's not what I'm talking about. I very rarely talk about the benefits of wearing a mask, good, bad, or indifferent. What I'm talking about, is there any phase, facet, level of government that has the authority to force me to wear a mask? To force you to wear a mask. What form of government are we a part of that we believe that we should be forced or arrested and fined or both if we don't wear a mask that doesn't protect us but protects my neighbor from what I breathe out? Where did that come from that we can be forced to do that to protect my neighbor? That defies all logic. I want to protect myself. I want to be able to protect myself, not depend on my neighbor to protect me. That's ridiculous. That is not the form of government we have. We're not supposed to. But Sheriff, all of this boils down to, quote, it divides power among sovereigns and among branches of government precisely so that we may resist the temptation to concentrate power in one location as an expedient solution to the crisis of the day. We are here to protect our people from the crises of the day. We are here to protect the people in our counties from any and all abuses of government. That's our job. There's a good sheriff in southern Utah that was asked if he was a constitutional sheriff. And he said, aren't we all supposed to be constitutional sheriffs? Isn't that our job? Well, as I started this whole thing about what's our job, Sheriff, that's it. Our job is to keep our oath of office. Our job is to protect liberty. And there's a lot more to all of this. I admit that. And I appreciate your time and your attention, and may God bless you as you do your job according to your oath of office. I'd love you to call me, I'd love you to email me, and I'd love to come out and offer you our training course on the Constitution for police officers, or how about this, the ethical application of the police oath of office. We teach all of that. And I would love to be in your community. I'd love to get to know you and love to be your friend.
Sheriff Mack, how do they get in touch with you? How does the sheriff get to reach you?
Well, Sheriff, you can email me at sheriffmack@hotmail. You can call our office at 602-268-9268. Or our website is cspoa.org. CSPOA.org stands for Constitutional Sheriffs Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. And like I say, give us a call or email me, my personal email, sheriffmack@hotmail.com.
Only one other thing I would like to ask you to put in something on a last word. Why is it particularly important right now, in respect to what's going on in the world, that the sheriff actually you know, Sheriff, not just speaking to you, why would you not just say, look, I'm really busy. That was a very interesting talk. Now I've got to go back to work. Why is it worth stopping now and getting in touch with Richard Mack?
Well, take a look around, Sheriff and everybody else, at the utter corruption in our country. This election sure has exposed a lot of it, but it's been exposed way before now. And during the last 4 years that Trump has been in office, the utter corruption that is where they've used taxpayer dollars and all these attorneys and all these investigations, they've spent millions and millions, I would say close to billions now, going after Trump on all these made up ridiculous charges. And for anybody to think that these people are willing to do that, but they didn't cheat on this election, I've got beachfront property for you in Omaha, if you believe that. But all I've ever asked, and I've worked on this for 25 years, all I've ever asked is for the state to have verifiable voting. The ballots must be verifiable. And the only way you can do that is your name, the voter who voted on that ballot, their name should be on that with their signature, to where if we have ever have to verify that particular vote or ballot, we can go right back to the voter with a paper trail. As far as I'm concerned, we should stop using computers and just go back to paper ballots. Oh, that might take longer to count. Well, look how long it's taking right now, and it's all computerized. So I'm not as concerned about a speedy count as I am an accurate, honest count. And there should be a name of a signed person. All these complaints that dead people vote, that would get rid of that. And every election, we should verify and audit every ballot in this country up to 1.5 to 2%. Maybe even 1%. Just see if the percentages are falling in place. But we have got to get back to honest government, get back to our Constitution, and follow the principles of liberty that America was founded upon. If we do that, we'll find the solutions to all of this. If we don't, we're going to keep floundering in what's going on right now. Corruption is the rule of the day in American politics. That's a shame. We can change that, Sheriff. We can change that one county at a time.
We're just about out of time. I would just add one more small point is that, as you mentioned, Sheriff Mack, there are laws on the books now that are not enforceable, not constitutional. And there are about to be a lot more based on what's getting ready to happen right now. Against the Bill of Rights specifically, you can go down to each one, 1 through 10. And it's not just firearms rights, and it's not just freedom of speech and all these other things that are being attacked. They're all under attack. And each sheriff that you're talking to, the sheriff right now that's listening to us, is going to have to determine whether they're a law enforcement officer that just enforces everything regardless of constitutionality, or whether they are responsible to keep their oath of office. And they're not going to necessarily be the same all the time.
Right. Yeah. It really just simply boils down to the oath of office. And that presupposes, in order to keep that oath, that you're going to know and understand the Constitution.
Right. Exactly.
I think it's a simple process. It's not always easy to carry out, but it is a simple process.
And Sheriff, everybody in your county is dependent for their future safety and well-being on your taking a minute right now and responding to this offer from Sheriff Mack. Get in touch, communicate. That's it. So,
amen.
Thank you, Sheriff Mack, and we'll say goodbye in the break here. All right, so there goes our friend Sheriff Richard Mack. I hope you enjoyed getting to listen in on his talk to sheriffs and people in the sheriff's department of your community and communities all over the country. And he's really obviously asking for our help to get the recording to the sheriffs if they haven't heard it, which, you know, most of them won't just hear it automatically. It has to be recorded, the link taken and given to them. Maybe burn it to a CD or a DVD if you can, or just give them the file, but get their interest. And the bottom line message of Sheriff Mack was to get the sheriffs to think about their oath of office and how that needs to be in harmony with their everyday operations, and for the sheriff to get in touch with CSPOA and get the benefit of that association. So kind of counting on you to help that happen, and I'll try to do the same thing in cases where I can. And Sheriff Mack wants the local sheriff to contact him, sheriffmack@hotmail.com, and get CSPOA to spread out to as much of the country as possible before things get to the point where that can't happen. And now we have a window of opportunity. I'm encouraging all of us to use it. I need to do that, and all of you, I hope, will help do the same thing. We have the numbers to get it out to all the sheriffs everywhere. So we should start doing that, and I suggest it. This has been a special show of Lost Arts Radio, and Lost Arts Research Institute is our nonprofit that is in charge of all this. You can see our two websites at lostartsradio.com, lostartsresearchinstitute.org, and also planetaryhealingclub.com. For those of you that want to get into deeper levels of what we're proposing that we should work on as the citizens, whether you're a sheriff or a police chief or a politician or a corporate president or a regular person like the rest of us, there are deeper levels of this that we need to attend to right away. And that's what planetaryhealingclub.com is an access point to. And I invite you to check it out. If you have questions about it, write to me, richard@lostartsradio.com. Or if you have suggestions or questions, anything like that, I read all of those at this point. So I appreciate your caring about the future of humanity. Thank you. And hope you have a good rest of the week. Share this as widely as you possibly can while it's still possible. Okay? It's really important. Take a minute to do that, or more than a minute, and I'll do the same thing. You're really a key player in what happens in the future of humanity. So I'm trying to get that message across. You're not an insignificant, helpless little person who needs experts to tell them how to run the life and make a safe and all that stuff. You're like a star player in this sci-fi movie that we're in. So realize your script is up to you. And let's do a good job with whatever time we've got remaining. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you again shortly.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sacks, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribe Star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest new selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editor's picks videos right on their homepage. Visit brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sacks and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Stay tuned, because up next, you'll get to hear a really great song by an independent artist that we're doing our best to support. Go to lostartsradio.com/music for the full list of all the great songs and bands that we spin on our audio-only podcast shows. If you're in a band and want to submit a song for consideration for airplay on Lost Arts Radio, visit my website at diamonddiscaudio.com for more information about the music placement, mastering, and mixing work that I do. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.
Living in America used to be a dream for so many people far away and unseen, with their big cars, movie stars, living in America. All hail to the red, white, and blue. Living in America was a dream. In this land, they tell you to reach anything you want, and everything is possible. Just believe that you can. We're God's chosen children, living in America with that long house and my picket fences. Living in America was a dream. Now they believe that their Savior has come to deliver all their people back to the kingdom. Better not try to stop us all or get in our way, 'cause we have what it takes to change the world again. Our queen and country follows us everywhere, 'cause they've lost a voice, they've lost the way, and feel safe in our shadow. Now it's all come to glory.
days, living in America in a high rise.